We're going to have two or three lessons on fruit bearing. And we'll be in John 15, 1 through 10. Lessons are entitled Fruit Bearing for God. It doesn't take much for anyone to conclude that our Creator loves to bear fruit. Now, you can look out into His creation, His nature, and see His fruit being borne all over. He's a husbandman. He desires fruit. He creates for fruit bearing. And therefore, it is no wonder that He expects fruit from His creation of man. And Jesus Christ, of course, came into the world preaching that gospel, that truth, that good news, that we are here to bear fruit for Him. And this, of course, is given to us in this wonderful passage in John 15, 1 through 10. Jesus is speaking to His disciples when He says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." You know, you read that and you just say, wow. Wow. What a passage. God has given us that gift of that passage to read and absorb, to learn from, and to live by. Now, before we get into an examination of this passage, we must be impressed with a knowledge as to what is its theme. Some have said its theme concerns salvation, and others have said its theme is only about fellowship and fruit bearing. Now, as I teach this passage, I teach it as a passage not about salvation, but about fellowship and fruit bearing. Now, that being said, Jesus is instructing His disciples. Jesus is instructing believers. This passage is for believers, not unbelievers. And our reading of this passage includes the fact that Jesus also said to His disciples that I would never leave you nor forsake you. That is to us. As believers, Jesus Christ tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, we believe that the Scriptures teach the eternal security of the believer. And because of this, we must approach this passage knowing that what it says does not include a loss of salvation of the believer. We move into this passage with that premise. This does not include the loss of salvation of the believer. Now, it is clearly shown that Jesus was talking to His disciples about their relationship to him. For he uses the word couplet, every branch in me. Every branch in me. He uses the word abide, which is a fellowship word, 9 times in these 10 verses. Abide. The word fruit, which is a word related to service, is used 6 times in these verses. Service is done by God's children. Fellowship is done with God's children. So we must not conclude in our study anything that leads one to believe that Jesus is eternally casting away any of his because of their fruit bearing or lack of fruit bearing. Now that's the premise that we're operating on here. Jesus is not casting away those that don't bear fruit, for they are his, and he has promised to never leave them nor forsake them. The theme is fellowship. For the words, every branch in me, proves that salvation has already taken place. And therefore, this instruction is to God's children. Now, Jesus starts this passage by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, our Lord opens this discussion by bringing forth the subject of the vine. And in doing so, I am sure the disciples recalled another vine, for they were of that vine called Israel, that God brought forth to bring him fruit. Now, God brought forth Israel, a special nation, a nation separated unto him, and he was still the husbandman. He planted Israel and he expected fruit. God the husbandman always looks for fruit. This is a principle, Christian. He's looking for fruit. He looks at you and he says, is that branch bearing fruit? If it's not bearing fruit, I'm going to help that branch bear fruit. Now, just get used to it. That's the way our God operates, for God is a husbandman. He planted Israel. He expected fruit from that vine, but sorrowfully he found none. That vine did not produce fruit. But you know, God doesn't weep and wail and say, now what am I going to do? God's a husbandman. If something doesn't bear fruit, he figures out a way for something else to bear fruit, and he's not going to be stopped. He's going to have fruit. So in Jesus Christ, his only Son, his only begotten Son, he plants a true vine. And here in this passage, Jesus Christ announces to his disciples that he is that vine. Now, as on many other occasions, Jesus uses that which he has created to teach us a truth about the Father, about himself, and his relationship with his own. He uses the word true. He is the true vine. There's nothing false about him. He doesn't come across pretending to be this, and when he's that, he says, I am the true vine. He was the true light in contrast with the forerunner, John, who was but a lamp. John was a lamp. Jesus was the light. He said he was the true bread in contrast with the manna of the wilderness. He said he was the true tabernacle in contrast with the tabernacle made by Moses. And therefore, he is the true vine in contrast with Israel of the Old Testament, which as a type of vine proved a failure. As Hosea 10:1 says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Wow, what a statement there. Israel is an empty vine. You know, that's quite a charge. For to us, so many times, we in this life, we bring fruit to ourselves. We think about bearing fruit to ourselves and our families, perhaps to others around us. But God says we are to bear fruit for Him. For we are His offspring. Now, a vine serves no other useful purpose but to bear fruit. It is not to bear fruit for itself, but it is to bear fruit for the husbandman. You know, you go to an orange tree. Does the orange tree eat the oranges? No. The orange tree presents the oranges to the husbandman. Gives them to the husbandman for the husbandman's use. Now, if it does not bear fruit for the husbandman, but simply consumes the nutrients of the soil, it becomes a nuisance and is pulled up and cast away. That's how it operates on the farm. Now, Israel simply bore fruit for itself and not the husbandman. But God did not stop there. God will have His way. God will have His fruit. And therefore, He sent Jesus Christ to be the vine on which fruit would be born. He now is to return to the Father. Jesus Christ now is to return to the Father, but He expects fruit bearing on Himself, the vine, to continue. The vine has been planted. Branches grow forth, and now the husbandman is looking for fruit. His going away will not stop the fruit from coming, but in fact it will increase the fruit bearing. Jesus Christ talked about that. I will go away, but the fruit bearing will be increased because you'll go into all the world preaching the gospel. Now in chapters 13 and 14, Christ told His disciples what He would be doing for them and all believers while He is away. But in this chapter, He instructs His own in what they are to do for Him while He is away, and that doing is to bear fruit. Now, He has already told His disciples in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You get the connection with what's taking place. Jesus Christ is going to be planted. After the crucifixion, He's planted. If a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus Christ expects much fruit on the vine because He is the vine and His Father is the husbandman. Now, this is a picture of a Father that is personally involved in fruit bearing of the vine. And this passage shows us that He's involved in your fruit bearing. You ever get a sense that God is tending to you so that you might bear more fruit? Well, we see this in this passage. For the husbandman tends the vine with loving care. He intends for the vine to be as fruitful as possible and will do everything to see that that comes about. That's the picture of God the husbandman. He's tending to the branches. Now, every growth on the vine is noticed. You know, he's got a magnifying glass. He's checking you out. He's checking me out. How's that branch doing? What can I do to help? Every bud is encouraged. Watering takes place at the right time. The branches are trained to grow in a certain way to get the necessary sunlight. The husbandman observes every branch of the vine, and each branch of the vine is individually tended. Individually tended. He doesn't go out there and just deal with the branches as a whole, but he carefully tends to each branch on the vine. Now, the husbandman has a fruit-bearing plan for each branch, and the pruning knife and purging is part of his plan. You know, I've never been a vintner. I've never been one to have vines, but I get a lot of lessons from this. I get the picture that a husbandman goes out and examines each branch of the vine and tends to it individually, that it might bear more fruit. Now, whatever it takes, The husbandman intends for each branch to bear fruit. John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see how he's tending to the branches. Now, as we go on in this verse, we must remember that Jesus Christ is talking about fruit-bearing of believers. He is not talking about salvation, as we've said, because he refers to branches already in him. This is past the new birth. This is past salvation. He's not talking about a person losing one's salvation, because the Bible is very clear that we are secure in Christ Jesus, and he said, every branch in me. So, this precedes discussion about three types of branches. Branches that bear no fruit, branches that bear some fruit, and branches that bear more fruit. But all of these branches are attached to the vine. All of their strength and nutrients come from the vine. He is talking about a union of vine and branches. He is talking about the same thing as 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is talking about the same thing as Paul relates to us in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. See the same picture. It's all consistent here. There are no branches pretending to be attached to the vine. That's not shown. And this is a verse that describes the work of the husbandman attending the vine. So if we go into this with that premise, I think we can have a better understanding of what's taking place. Now, he's interested in quality fruit. You know, God is a God of quality. The world is a God of quantity, mass production. But God is a God of quality, and he's looking for quality fruit. He knows that his vine is the finest quality, and he intends for that vine to produce quality fruit, so his actions are all toward that end. So he comes to a branch, and he finds no fruit. He finds a branch that has no fruit. John records the words of Jesus Christ, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now you see that and you say, wow, something's being cut off the vine. The King James translation says he takes the branch away. Now, normally this would be thought of as a severing of the branch from the vine, but if you look a little deeper into this word, taketh away, it could also mean a separating of the branch from other branches. The husbandman takes away a branch from other branches. Now think about the theme of this. This is fruit bearing. Think about what the husbandman is interested in. Fruit bearing. So he takes away a branch from other branches. Now this word translated taketh away is from the Greek word aero, which literally means to raise up or to elevate. In Matthew 4:6, it is translated to bear up. In John 5:10, it is translated to carry. In John 11:41, it is translated lift up. In Acts 4:24, it is translated lifted up. So considering that this word can be translated into the English in various ways, but considering the context of its usage in this verse, it appears to me that it could be written, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth up. This is more like God tending to the branch. Doesn't come in and just cut the branch off, but sees to it, why is that branch not bearing fruit? So he tenderly lifts it up gets it out of the muck and the mire, gives it more sun, relocates the branch. So it's in a better position to receive more sun or less sun. Now, some branches grow downward and follow the surface of the ground, where other natural debris, dust or dirt, tends to smother them. The branches remain connected to the vine, but they are going in a way that is not conducive to fruit bearing. So the vine dresser does not automatically cut off those vines because they are still capable of producing fruit. So he decides to reposition or separate them from other branches, and in so doing, he washes off the dirt and debris that they will receive sunlight and oxygen in order to bear fruit. That's just like our God. So we see in this the need at times for branches to relocate in order to bear fruit. The lesson Jesus is giving us here is the environment of branches is important, and God, ever the husbandman, chooses to relocate his own in order that they bear fruit for him. You know, every gardener worth the name knows this principle. If you're a gardener and you tend to plants, you pay attention to the environment that the plant is in. Some plants need more sun, some need less sun, some need less rain. When I put a sprinkler system into my house, I disturbed my wife's garden, her flower garden or shrub garden, because now everything was getting water. Well, before she had this over here where it wasn't sprinkled and this over here that it was sprinkled. Now I disturbed that, so she had to adapt and relocate things. If a plant is not thriving, it may need water, it may need fertilizing, but it also may need moving. Now, you may be in a church, and you may not be bearing fruit in that church. God picks you up, puts you in another church, and you can bear fruit in that church. That happens all the time. So I think that is what the Lord is giving us here. The message is that God gives his all in seeing to it that his own bear fruit. You know, God may bring something into your life to cause you to bear more fruit. It may be a difficult thing, but he brings it into your life for the purpose of bearing fruit. Now, another indication that this is the proper translation is the order of the husbandman's work. This first branch is not a fruit-bearing branch, but the husbandman works to make it a fruit-bearing branch. That's the context that we find here. And the last phrase of this verse brings fruit-bearing to the next level, where Jesus talks about a branch that is bearing fruit, but he wants it to bear more fruit. He goes out and he examines the branch, and he compares it to a branch over here, and he says, well, this branch is bearing fruit, but look at this branch over here. Why is this branch bearing more fruit? I'm going to do something to this branch to make it like this branch, to bear more fruit. So he does what a husbandman would do. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you all know about purging. You all know about pruning. And this is the tools that the husbandman uses to make his plants be more fruitful. So in this situation, the husbandman examines the vine and he finds fruit. The condition of this vine needs to be improved so it bring forth more fruit. That's what he determines. Now this word purgeth means cleanseth or cleaning. You know, there's a lot of time spent. You go into some of the businesses that have a lot of plants, and they have an agency that comes in and tends to those plants. And sometimes you see them going in and they're cleaning off the leaves. There's things that get on the leaves that harm the leaves, and they spend time cleaning those leaves. Well, the same sense is given here in this passage. where he purgeth the branch, that it bring more fruit. So the husbandman washes the vine to rid the vine of insects and moss and parasites which drain the strength of the vine. There are things that get on the plants that take strength from the plants. And he makes sure that he takes those things away from the plants. Now put yourself as the branch and what God is doing in your life, cleaning your life, helping to purify your life. The Holy Spirit comes with the gifts of the Spirit. Patience, love, joy, long-suffering. That's a bringing a cleansing into your life as a husbandman's duty. Now, this is not a pruning, but a cleaning of the vine. The purging of the vine by water and careful washing of the vine. You know, you remember the example where our Lord washed the feet of his disciples. This is a picture of the same thing in the lives of his disciples. What a glorious picture he gave us. And he insisted that Peter yield his feet to him for washing if he expected to maintain fellowship with him. Remember that story? Peter, I must wash your feet in order to maintain fellowship. So we see a picture of this here in this passage. In order for the branch to maintain fellowship with the husbandman, there must be fruit bearing. And in order to have fruit bearing, I must wash the branch. I must enter into the life of the branch by purging and washing. So this same principle that is taught by the Lord in the foot washing of Peter and the disciples is taught here in this passage. So the branch yields itself to the cleansing of the husbandman if much fruit is to result. You know, some branches can lay on the ground and start getting roots. And they say, well, I'm comfortable here. I'm getting nutrients from the ground. I don't need them from the vine. Well, God says, that's not good. That's the world. You're reaching down into the world to get nutrients when I lift you up. And sometimes it's hard to lift that branch out of the ground. And the branch pulls against that. And sometimes we pull against the working of the Lord in our lives, but the Lord's intention is for us to yield fruit. So the right relationship with the vine must be maintained if fruit is to result in the branch. Now this is amplified by the next verse where the Lord says to his disciples, John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So here's God's cleansing agent, the washing by the water of the word. We all need cleansing if we're going to bear fruit, is the message of the scriptures. Now Jesus Christ, up to this point, has been describing the state of a believer before God. The state of the believer before God varies depending upon the believer. Your state varies. What state are you in as far as fellowship with the Lord? Some are close, some are far, some are middle. But that describes the state that you're in. But the standing of a believer does not vary. Like I said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The standing of a believer does not vary because the believer's standing doesn't depend upon the believer. You know, if it depended upon you, we'd be in a mess. But the standing depends on Jesus Christ. Now, in this verse, John 15:3, he is talking about the standing of his disciples. Their standing depends upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And as long as that finished work stands, their standing will never vary. Aren't we glad of that? Isn't that a wonderful principle, that our standing will never vary? As long as he is the vine, a disciple will be a branch. And as long as Jesus is the vine, is what? Eternal. So as long as Jesus Christ is the vine, which is eternal, the branch will be eternal. Now in this verse, he is teaching the same lesson as he taught in John 13:10 when he told his disciples, "He that is washed needeth not." You don't need to be washed again, save to wash his feet. Now, what's the message there? Our feet are connected to the earth. And the earth is dirty. The earth is dusty. The earth brings corruption, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He was talking about Judas there. And ye are clean, but not all. He that is washed indicates the standing of the believer, and to wash his feet indicates the state of the believer. See how both have to be in play here. You have to be washed. Now, you've been washed, but your feet need to be washed. Your branch needs to be washed. Why? To maintain fellowship with God, the husbandman. Now, in John 13:10, Jesus qualified this statement by saying, "but not all," and he was referring to Judas, because Judas' standing before God was not clean. Judas had never been born again. Judas was lost, but he found the grave. Now here in John 15:3, Jesus includes all of his disciples as clean, because if you read before this, you'll find that Judas has left. So all he has left is his clean, saved disciples. So fruit bearing will only occur by the branch being connected to the vine. You know that proverb that says, even the plowing of the wicked is an abomination to God. Now, this fellow is not connected to the vine. He can't serve. His plowing can't serve God because he's not connected to the vine. A branch not connected to the vine is dead, and a dead branch will not bear fruit. But Jesus Christ says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And this statement tells us that in this passage, in John 15, the disciples were connected to the vine. The disciples were branches and therefore connected to bear fruit. All is in place for the disciples to bear fruit. And then enters the husbandman. We'll get into this next week. But enters the husbandman, and he ensures that they bear fruit by tending to the branch in these ways that we've described. Isn't God wonderful? God brings us into his family, and he just doesn't forget us, but he's tending to us as a faithful husbandman would tend to the branches of the vine. Father, we are thankful for this passage in the Scriptures. We're thankful for all the passages of the Scriptures, Father, for they help us, Lord, to be washed and cleansed that we might bear fruit. Lord, help us as a church, as a Sunday school class, to be serious about fruit bearing for the Lord. Lord, help us to covet fruit bearing. Help us to covet your tending to us, Lord, that we might bear fruit for you. Lord, bless us now as we go to our service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.